That's pretty. Thank you. Viktor Frankl was an Austrian psychiatrist and a Jew who spent 3 years in Nazi concentration camps. His mother, brother, and wife died in the camps. The Nazis burned anything Viktor Frankl tried to write while he was there, and as a final insult, they took his wedding ring. And he realized he still had freedom. He wrote later, "The one thing you can't take away from me is the way I choose to respond to what you do to me. The last of one's freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given circumstance." He just refused to hate the Nazis. After the war, he established new forms of psychotherapy based on finding meaning in any circumstance. Meaning, of course, is subjective. It's all in how you think about it. As we've said so many times here, our thinking determines our experience of life. We've talked the last 3 weeks about the 6 mental faculties we use with the creative power of our thoughts: imagination and intuition, memory and will, perception and reason. Those talks are online if you missed them. For the next 3 weeks, I want to talk about the hard parts of creating our experience. Why is it so hard to shift our thinking? Why do results seem to take so long? And why is it sometimes so difficult to receive, to take yes for an answer? Giving and receiving is a circuit that has to complete itself, but we cut it off and then complain we're not getting what we ask for. How to get what you want. For the last few summers, I've offered a Sunday series about prosperity or abundance in any form, talking about the different ways to create a life you would love. And that's what this is. This is this year's prosperity series. But I want to talk mainly about the common problems we run into, because so many people have begun to doubt the spiritual law that you can create your life. You can have what you want, because they haven't seen the results they would prefer. And there are 2 or 3 things that might be happening there. One is not believing it's possible. One is not recognizing the gift in the results you get. And another is blocking the results you want. So let's revisit thinking as a creative power. Have you ever heard an idea, just a few words from a book or a speaker, and the tumblers just fall into place? You get it in a new way. That happened to me this year. It doesn't happen every year. It happened this year when I heard the term condition-based thinking. It's looking at the conditions of your life or the world and making decisions about what's possible based on what's already evident. I've talked about that for years, but I've called it different things: limited beliefs, outer circumstances, mass consciousness. I've warned against falling into that thinking. But for me, the term condition-based thinking just put it in a whole new light. And condition-based thinking is everywhere. It's the way we were taught to think. We call it common sense. We call it facing facts. It's, I can't get that job because I don't have a college degree. I'd love to start a business, but not in this economy. My plans are on hold until I see who's elected president. Every time we say, I can't afford it, I don't have time, I don't know how, this seems impossible, that's condition-based thinking. It limits us to the human condition. When we know we are so much more, we know we have access to the infinite, that our essence is divine. Life is always seeking freer, fuller expression, and it wants to express through you. Condition-based thinking keeps us small and timid. So I was telling my friend Laura in California about this, and for the rest of the conversation, we started catching ourselves in condition-based thinking. I was talking about my new certification as a life coach and who might become my paying clients. And she said, because she has older kids, she said, how about college kids? They're planning their whole lives. And then immediately she added, but college kids don't have any money. That's condition-based thinking. that college kids are poor. It's also an assumption. Have you ever been to the SMU campus in Dallas? Every kid seems to have a BMW. So they're not all poor. But just listen to yourself the rest of today and see how often you can catch condition-based thinking. Rain could spoil our picnic. The highways are likely to be crowded and miserable. Rain and traffic might be facts, but we work with spiritual law by remembering truth in the face of opposing facts. The facts, life as we know it, are the result of our thinking so far. We can change our thinking to design a different future. Will your thoughts stop the rain? Actually, that's debatable. A lot of people believe weather is the outpicturing of mass consciousness. And a lot of people believe they have prayed rain away from their outdoor events. But even if it rains, your thoughts can hold the possibility of a great picnic. You might have to move indoors. You can hold the possibility of smooth driving even if the traffic is heavy. You're creating your personal universe, the way you experience life. Stand guard at the gate of your mind. Partner with thoughts of possibility. It can happen. It can be real for me. Let me give you an example of possibility thinking in the face of opposing facts. It was a dark and windy night. A group of guys were out in a boat. They'd been trying to fish, but now they were just holding on against the waves. It was too far out to get back to land safely, and their leader wasn't with them until he was. Early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" I know I've read that story before. I love that story. To me, this is the quintessential story about the relationship of our human selves with the divine. For a minute, Peter lived from his divinity. Jesus said we could do anything he could do, and for a minute, Peter believed it. That's huge. How many arguments could he have made not to get out of the boat? But he stepped onto the water. Then he noticed the conditions. "People can't walk on water. It's windy. Those waves are slapping my knees. I'm going down. I'm going to die out here." You hear the shift in his thinking? Ours is like that too. Back and forth between what's possible and what's real. Peter looked at conditions outside himself. He also looked for help outside himself. But he didn't fail until he began to doubt. He couldn't hold on to that inner image of walking on water. Here's the thing to remember. If you have a thought of what you want, it already exists. It's already possible. Your history does not determine your destiny. So where are you placing your power? In the past, or the divine creativity in you? Mary Morrissey tells the story about a modern-day fisherman, a young guy who went to the local pier to fish, and he saw a much older man down the pier, also fishing and doing really well. He was catching a lot of fish, but every time the old man caught a fish, he would measure it against a broken-off ruler that he had with him. And if the fish was bigger than the ruler, he threw it back. Well, the young man thought, is there some rule against taking the bigger fish? Or does he know that they've gotten too bony to eat? Or what is this? So he finally walked down the pier and talked to the old man. He said, "Excuse me, I just can't help but notice you're throwing back the bigger fish. Why is that?" And the old man said, "You see this ruler, Sonny? It's broken off exactly to the size of my frying pan at home. I'm keeping the fish that fit." When life throws you a big fish, a dream, an idea, a vision for what might be possible, how often do you throw it back? "Too big for me. That's just not what I'm used to. I can't handle something like that. I don't have the equipment. That doesn't fit my familiar conditions." What have we missed by trying to cram something new into the shape of what's old and familiar? When we say, "I just can't see it happening. I don't know how to pull that off." Of course you don't. Life is trying to expand beyond what you've known. Einstein said, "No problem can be solved at the level of thinking that created it." We have to shift our thinking to create new possibilities for our lives. The good news is, just thinking about that possibility means it's already waiting for us. We only have to elevate our thinking to its frequency. And it doesn't have to be some major vision of utopia. You don't have to upend your life. It can be any desire for change. Sometimes it shows up as longing, wishing for a different possibility. Desire means it is available to you, waiting to be discovered. But that requires a shift in perception. When Nelson Mandela was in prison, instead of thinking that all was lost and he had failed, he thought, "What if being in prison is part of overcoming apartheid in South Africa? What if this is all necessary for the transformation of the country, the hearts and minds of the people?" He eventually became president of the country that had imprisoned him. And I'm sure he had discouraging days. He was in prison 27 years. But he elevated his thinking above conditions. We tend to believe that if only the conditions of our lives change, then we'll be happy. But the shift in thinking has to come first. We live from the inside out. We have to change our inner patterns to change circumstances outside of us. How do we do it? Here are three ways to think differently. First, recognize the one power and presence in the universe. Wherever we are, life is. It penetrates and permeates everything. Second, realize you are part of that life. It is expressing through you to the degree that you let it. Life is breathing you. If you had to think about every breath, you could never sleep. If you had to consciously circulate your blood and keep your organs working, life is alive in you. It has its own energy, and that's the one presence and power we call the divine. You will never be closer to that presence than you are right now, because you are it. It is you. Practice recognizing this life force everywhere in the universe and expressing as you. And then third, affirm the truth, even when the facts look limiting. Facts are facts, but they don't determine your choices. Decide first what you would love, no matter what the facts are right now. I know that's hard to believe sometimes. If you're sick, if you're broke, if you're living in uncertainty, but what better time to envision a different future and go about elevating your consciousness to its level? You are more than your conditions because you are one with this life force. You think with the mind of God because you are part of it. You can tell yourself the truth with a capital T no matter what's going on around you. And the truth is, I am one with infinite power. I may not know the answer, but the infinite does. And I have access to that mind. This is your divine identity. In the prayer workshop this Saturday, we'll talk about praying from your divine identity, not pleading with some outer power, but accessing your own divine power, understanding your oneness with the infinite and all the answers it holds. And kids, if you'd like to come to that, I think you'd love it. It's Saturday morning, 9 to 1. learn to pray the new thought way. This is open to everyone. This is Memorial Day weekend. We remember those who died in service to our country, and in Wimberley, we remember the devastating flood last year, which also took lives and killed a way of life for some people. Death is a condition. The flood was a condition. They are absolutely real. Conditions are what's already happened, and we have feelings about them. But conditions don't have to drive our decisions about the future. And let me give you an example from church members, Scott and Carol Price. I have permission to talk about them. They lost everything on the first floor of their house in the flood last year. Those were the conditions. Those were the facts. So they had some decisions to make, including how to feel about it. And instead of deciding this was terrible, what I heard them say was, well, we've been wanting to remodel anyway. They expanded their thinking. They rebuilt the house differently. They didn't let the condition of being wiped out in the flood keep them from creating the future they wanted or the house they wanted. It took 11 and a half months, but Scott and Carol are back in their house. And you know what else? Carol told me to tell you, they remodeled their relationship too. After 20 years together, they are closer than they've ever been because of this experience. And that's the point. No matter what has happened, no matter what the conditions are, you can start today envisioning the future you want. Even after a death, life won't be the way it was, but you can start envisioning what you want next, allowing life to express through you in a fuller way. It's all about where you put your attention, on the conditions or on the possibilities. It's like deciding which TV station to watch. They're on different frequencies. You can get news, discovery, movies, history, soap operas. Your choice of frequency determines your experience. So keep switching mentally to the channel of your vision, whatever it is. A new job, a better relationship, retirement. Go ahead and feel how good it's going to feel. Live at that frequency, in that mindset. Keep switching to the channel of your own divinity. There is only one presence and power, and you are part of it. Affirm that truth, no matter the opposing facts. Allow life to express through you in ways bigger than the frying pan you've been using up until now. Feel the frequency of life expanding in you. This is great news about our relationship with the divine, our awareness of our divinity. We don't have to figure everything out, and common sense can hold you back. There was no common sense in Peter's getting out of the boat. And notice Peter didn't do it alone. Hang out with people who see your greatness, which Jesus saw in Peter despite the facts sometimes. Find partners who believe you can do whatever you dream. Most people, you'll find, are just focused on conditions, and you'll start to notice this every day. Keep remembering the truth, your connection to larger, greater possibilities. I would also caution you about the idea that you should go with the flow and accept whatever comes along. You can accept facts as they are today. No need to resist them. But the conditions today do not determine the future. Conditions are malleable. They can change, starting in thought. There cannot be a problem without an answer. And you don't have to know what it will look like. Just start assuming it's going to be great. Viktor Frankl chose his attitude in a concentration camp. Nelson Mandela imagined prison would turn out to be part of historic shifts in South Africa and the world. Get on the frequency of life you would love. Keep thinking about it, imagining it, feeling it. And next week we'll talk about why we don't always see changes as fast as we would like. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. When we meditate, we become still and quiet. You might want to take a deep breath and exhale all the way. We are grateful simply to know who we are, to be aware that we live within this one presence and power that is the universe, that is all that is. This power of love, light, and intelligence, this substance that we use to create our own lives. It's all one. We are all part of it. Each of us is an expression of that divine energy. And so in this moment of quiet, open up to greater expression. You might feel it as a physical opening of your heart. You might imagine it as stretching your mind, standing up straighter, opening to life, and allowing divine energy to flow through you, to touch other people, to guide you to your perfect place of service, and to attract your next dream. Take just a moment and practice that frequency, that mindset of remembering who you are as a divine being with access to the infinite. Know that whatever you want in your life, you are drawing from this divine power to create it. And anything is possible in the infinite. We are grateful for this awareness, and we say thank you, God. Amen.